Thank you, Siang. Welcome. If you have not been up here frequent enough, I think it's always wonderful to be able to have assignments from the Lord, isn't it? It's so good to have assignments from the Lord. Yeah, it's so good to have assignments from the Lord. I know all of you are wondering why I'm carrying this bear. I'll be preaching something that will have a bear in there. So I thought I'll bring a bear to come along. All right, let's ask the Lord to bless the time together as we share His word. Father, we thank you so much that in you we have assignments to enrich us, assignments to make life exciting, assignments to come and challenge us, and then to help us call on you if it's too huge, and then to be able to live life freely and lightly. And like what Pastor says, you know, having the unforced rhythm of God's grace to come and enrich us and help us enjoy life. So today we want to enjoy life. We want to enjoy your word. We want to enjoy the fellowship together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So my introduction was said in my prayer. And truly, God gives us assignments to enrich our lives, assignments to make our life free and be able to be like-hearted. So God has given us assignments at home. How many of you know you've got a lot of assignments at home? God has given us assignments in school, at work, in the community, in the church. God has given us assignments. In fact, when the Spirit of God was on Jesus, He was given an assignment. His assignment was to preach the gospel to the poor, to open up prison doors, to set the prisoners at liberty, to be able to release the oppressed. That's a great assignment. And if you remember David, when he was a young shepherd boy, he had an assignment. His assignment was to take care of his father's flock. So we all got assignments, and it's beautiful to have assignments all right through. I pray that when I live to the last day of my life on earth, I will still have an assignment. Because assignments are good to enrich us. But in the assignment that was given to David, he was threatened by a bear. The bear almost killed his assignment, almost deter him from fulfilling the assignment God gave him. And that's why my topic for today is poke the bear. When I first heard, I drew the bear and the porcupine because I used a Surface Pro pen. I don't know what happened. Something just got shifted and it became like that. So you got to figure out that's a bear there and there are two porcupines. And the reason why I said I drew porcupines was because, you know, they are pokey and they probably poke the bear. All right. So when I first heard poke the bear, this phrase is actually a phrase. And this phrase actually means that we need to stir, we need to take action, we need to poke something or someone that seemed to be very powerful in our lives that can prevent us from fulfilling our assignment. How good is that? I say that again. When I say poke the bear, you need to take action or you need to put in place some sort of plan to be able to prevent something powerful or someone powerful from preventing you from completing or fulfilling God's assignment in your life. That's why I took really long to prepare this message. I said, God, don't ask me to preach this message. It's really, really hard. But I had to poke the bear and I had to really look into what God's word say about poking the bear so that today, I pray that you will walk away from this place different. Whew. Whew. Right. Pastor Stewart said in the last message, he says, we need to sing again. We need to get back our voice. We need to reclaim what has been lost. We need to unblock the well. And today I would say we need to poke the bear so that we can unblock and we can reclaim and we can sing again. So the first bear is the bear of assumption. The bear of assumption. That's the bear I drew. Okay, it still comes out quite nicely actually. In fact, nicer than my original drawing. The first bear is the bear of assumption. You see, you are making an assumption when you accept a thing as true or certain to happen without proof. So usually people will use their gut feeling to make an assumption. And today I'm going to take from the story of David and Goliath. And it's so familiar, I won't read the scriptures to you. Please go back and read 1 Samuel chapter 17 as your homework. See, when the brothers of David were in the field and they were hearing the shouts of Goliath, they assumed. Because for 40 days, this giant came out to spit insults on the army of Israel. So the brothers of David assumed that Goliath was very strong. And of course, the Philistines were a very strong army. They were fierce, they were strong, and they were very powerful. And of course, because of that, the brothers of David assume, because of what they heard about the Philistines, that this Goliath, this tall giant, was an invincible warrior. So they made an assumption. That's a bear of assumption right there. The trouble with assumptions is that it is not true. Goliath has not killed anyone yet. It's an assumption that he's so strong that no one can win him. It's an assumption. It's an assumption is something that you feel in your gut that you think is true, but has no evidence. The trouble with assumption is this, that assumption can be made into a rule. So sometimes we live our life on assumptions and we live our life on a lot of untrue rules. So for example, since Goliath is so strong, then don't bother to fight with anyone stronger than you. You've just made a rule. Just because you think he's strong, therefore you wouldn't fight. That's a rule. You won't fight with anyone stronger than you. And maybe you won't want to confront anybody because they are strong people. That's a rule in life. Maybe that is preventing you from really living free. I don't know. Maybe you need to ask yourself that question. Or it can become a rule like, since we are so weak, the brothers of David would say, you know, we are so weak because we are already so weak. Let's assume we are already so weak. Then maybe we should stay out of the arena because we are not fit to fight. We should be singing, but maybe we won't sing because there are people that can sing better. Maybe we won't sing. It becomes a rule. I have this to say, if we make a wrong assumption, then it can lead to a wrong rule and it can end up in a wrong principle of living. I say that again. If you make a wrong assumption, you can make a wrong rule and you can live a wrong way. Where did David get his dare from? He got his dare from the first-hand encounters with God. Because when he saw Goliath, he didn't assume anything. He didn't assume the Philistines were very strong. He didn't assume the Goliath was invincible. He didn't assume anything. He saw Goliath like the bear he killed. And this was the experience and the confidence that gave him what he said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 45 to 47, it says, "The Lord who rescued me from the paws of the bear will," not maybe, "will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. The Lord will hand him over to me and I will strike him down." One lesson which I learned from David here, rather than the brothers, is we need to listen to the voice of God. We need to listen to the voice of God so much that we check out the validity of every assumption we make in life so that we don't live wrongly or weakly or defeated. Because the voice of God is actually the evidence and the proof of whatever we do. So we need to ask ourselves, whatever I'm thinking or I'm feeling, is it a correct assessment against the yardstick of God's word? For example, if you hear someone says, you are too young, is that an assumption? Or is that really a correct assessment of yourself? You need to check it out against the valid voice of God. What is God saying? And then, of course, you found 1 Timothy 4:12. If you're a young person and you think you are too young to do this, too young to do that, you know, you're inexperienced, you're a greenhorn. I'm saying this from 1 Timothy 4:12. God's valid voice says, let not anyone despise your youth. So when you read that, it's like, whoa, faith must arise in you. Strength must arise in you. That's what happens to David. Strength arose in him because he heard the valid voice of God versus all the assumptions he has heard. If someone says, you're too old, sometimes we ourselves say we are too old. Is it valid? Or is it an assumption? How do you know it's valid? Against the word of God, against the voice of God, is it a fair assessment? And then you found Psalm 92 verse 14. God says to you, in your old age, you will be healthy and green and will bear fruit. Wow. Whoa, I see one strong woman down there. You believe it. Who has faith to believe it? One word, Jack, you sang this morning, huh? One word and God can do the impossible. Yeah? You must be able not to assume things. I remember, you know, when I was younger, I assumed too many things that could work against me. And sometimes people can say a lot of things to you so that you can assume more wrong things in a more intense way, especially when it's spoken by people who are older than you or more powerful than you. I've got a very powerful teacher, an art teacher when I was in year 10, and he taught me art. Anyway, I finished my course with him in Crescent Girls' School in Singapore, and then I moved on to another girls' school, Tanjung Katong Girls' School. And when I was in year 12, I remember joining a competition, an art competition. And I tell you what, I came in first. 200 dollars cash prize for a year 12 student. That's pretty good, huh? Anyway, that was really good. But my teacher, who was my Crescent Girls' School art teacher, also came with his girls from Crescent Girls' School coming to join the competition. And he came, he looked at my art, and he says, we could have won that anytime. Wow. Back then, the bear of assumption came alive. Someone powerful said something to me that was really keeping me down, you know. And at that time, I began to make assumptions. Yeah, maybe I'm not that good. You know, I'm good. I won the $200 maybe, but maybe I'm not that good. Or maybe it's a fluke that I won. Maybe the judges didn't know better, you know. Of course, right now, when I look back at my teacher and what he said, I could have said, what rubbish, right? You know, if you had those girls that can win the competition, send them. You know, now you can talk, you know. But back then, you know, you make all kinds of assumptions. So the bear of assumption, sometimes powerful words can come into your life and make you make assumptions in life that make you live life in a particular negative way. Today, we need to poke the bear. We need to stir that up because God is here and God wants to heal. In fact, just now was it Karen who said, every good gift was given by God. And that's in James chapter 1 verse 17. He says, every gift God freely gives is good and perfect, including my art. Oh, today, oh, I must do more art. every gift God gives is good and perfect, streaming down from the Father of lights who shines from the heavens with no hidden shadow or darkness and is never subject to change. We must not chop and change every good and perfect gift given to us by God and begin to make assumptions that can create shadows in the gifts God gives us. If we do, then we won't be able to enjoy the gifts that God has given to us in a full way. And you won't be able to enjoy, like what Pastor says, live a life that reflects the unforced rhythm of God's grace. And you can live lightheartedly and you can live freely, thankful that you have got this little gift that God gives you. Take care of the bear of assumption. Poke it. Is that an assumption? Or is that really true? How do you do? How do you do that? You validify it against the word of God. What is God saying? Not what is some powerful people saying. Not what my art teacher, Mr. Lee, is saying. I've forgiven him already. But what Mr. Lee is saying. No, what is God saying? That's the valid voice that you need to listen to. If you want to poke the bear and take care of all the assumptions that you have been under so far in your life. Tomorrow is a new day. Oh, I wouldn't say tomorrow. I would say right now is a new day. If you have poked the bear and poked the assumptions and recall some assumptions that are taking your life away from you, you need to poke it, take action, do something about it, listen to what God is saying and get on freely. Freely, lightheartedly with your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. The next bear, Nina. Good. The next bear is the bear of blockages or blocks. Poke the bear of mental blocks. The thing is, if you believe an assumption hard enough, and then you apply the rule based on that wrong assumption often enough, you may be practicing what may not be true over and over again. And you can become so perfect in doing what is only your assumption. And it can result sometimes in a mental block. When Shalene and Charmaine, my two girls, were very young, they were learning the piano. And one of the first lessons that the teacher would say is, I want you to have right posture, right fingering, and all the rest of it, sit right and play right and all that. Because if you keep learning the wrong notes and keep having the wrong posture, if you keep practicing the wrong things, you will get so perfect in the wrong notes and in the wrong posture, you may think you are doing it right. And it can result in a block in some cases. So sometimes we may need to unlearn. Everyone says unlearn. That's a good word. You want a new thing. God wants to do a new thing in your life. Sometimes you may need to unlearn things. Or maybe you may need to relearn things. Everyone says relearn. You may need to relearn something so that your life will be lighthearted and your life will be free, just as God wants you to experience. See, the brothers of David showed up day after day for 40 days and they heard what Goliath was raving about and what was he was shouting about, and Israel trembled for 40 days. And they begin to experience dismay and terror. 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 11 tells us they begin to experience dismay and terror, and they were reported even as losing their heart. You know, you can lose your heart if you keep listening to assumptions and keep listening to wrong things. You can lose heart. You can lose courage. And over here, the brothers of David and the people of Israel, they lost heart. there wasn't a war cry anymore. Maybe the first day there was a war cry. We come against you, Philistines. Goliath, Goliath, Goliath. But the time is 30 days. It's like everyone retreats to their own camp. Like, Goliath is here. Let's get going. You know, right. There was a hush. There was no more sound. You see, intimidation is really real. When we walk out of this door, when we go into the world, some of the people out there can be really intimidating. Some of the things you are facing can be really intimidating. Talk about Goliath. His height was intimidating. We checked the cubits and the spans. It was actually 9 feet. Can you imagine? That day I was at this pastor's conference. Next to me was this guy. Whoa. I don't think he's 9 feet. But very tall. And I was wearing pumps, you know. So I was wearing pumps. And then he was like jumping up and down because of the songs, you know. He was like, whoa, really 9 feet, you know. And the other side also another 9 feet. So I was like, two of them like jumping. Very intimidating. But at one point I said, I must jump with them, you know. Yeah, right, right. But people who are so tall, like Goliath, very intimidating, is real. And intimidation is real. If you look at his appearance was intimidating. He wore 57 kilograms of armor. That's how many refresh bottles you must carry in your body. Wow. And then the iron point which he used for his shaft itself, the iron point itself was 6.8 kilo. So he carries this whole thing every day. At the camp, he will come out and shout. Very intimidating. And not only that, he's got a commanding voice. He stood there, Bible tells us, and shouted. Some of your bosses, huh? Wow, very loud, huh? Some of your colleagues, yeah. Very commanding, very intimidating. Today, you learn that we must not give in to the bear of mental blocks. Intimidation sometimes can create blocks, but we mustn't allow them. He also has got great expertise. He was a warrior from his youth. A lot of skills. Some people with a lot of skills frighten us, huh? You can sing. And then when you go and sing in a competition with so many people knowing how to sing, sometimes you feel intimidated. Powerful people can intimidate us. And powerful people in our lives exhibit this sort of features. And sometimes we can be so intimidated that we can get mental blocks. I've got good news today that God wants us to poke the bear. And God wants us to heal of all our blocks. God wants us to unlearn and relearn some of those things we have learned wrongly so that as a church, we want to be an influence to where? To Perth and beyond. We want to be an influence to weak people and powerful people. But if we are so scared of powerful people, then we won't be able to minister to them. We need to poke the bear. We need to be healed. I tell you what, why I say this. I'm very afraid of powerful people. Because in my life, when I was a young person, mom and dad always say, no need to be so, you know, powerful, huh? And be careful of those powerful people, you know. So I've learned, very afraid, even now talking about it, also quite scared. Afraid of powerful people. And God knew that I need to poke that bear. Because if we have a lot of blocks in our life, then we won't be able to live life freely and lightheartedly. And when God gave us an assignment that involves powerful people, we won't enjoy ourselves. If God gives you an assignment that involves powerful people, you need to be so joyful and so lighthearted and so at ease talking with them, working with them, not anxious, scared, depressed. And God begin to use a circumstance in life to begin to heal me of my fear or my anxiety when it comes to powerful people. He sent Henry into politics. And I remember when he went into politics, and when he comes back and tell me, we've got lunch with so-and-so, my heart gives a beat. these are powerful people. I get anxious just thinking about those people we are going to meet. And I get nervous. But God wants to poke the bear, because these are mental blocks. These are things we have learned in our life that are mental blocks. And my preaching mentor always got to tell me, look, Kara, you don't have to try to be a politician wife. You are a politician wife. You don't have to try to be a committee member. You are a committee member. You don't have to try to be a leader. You are already a leader, if you are already a leader. You don't have to try to be a boss. You are already the boss. You don't have to try to be the supervisor. If you are already the supervisor, you are already the supervisor. Wow. Freedom. And I remember God has to send one famous politician to help me unblock some of those things in my life. And I pray that God will send a lot of stories of grace and people of grace to come along, the unforced rhythm of God's grace to come and unblock us. I remember there was one thing that we went to, and we were waiting for the VIP to come. The speaker was a very famous politician. And before the speaker came, I was hanging out with a few friends, and we were talking. And you know, I'm quite animated. Like, when I talk, every part of my body moves, you know. So it's like, I was like, I don't know what I was doing. But anyway, I must have been like waving my hand around. And suddenly my hand got caught in another person's hand. And then I had to turn around. And Henry said, you could have said, hey, Johnny. I didn't. It was John Howard. He thought I was trying to shake hands with him. He was the speaker of the night. He was coming through that corridor trying to get to the podium. And I think because I was swinging, he thought I was trying to shake his hand. He held my hand. And I saw him. I didn't say, hey, Johnny. I said, hi, Mr. Howard. And then I was still stunned. The whole day I was like, I was lost. But God used that sort of an experience for me to help me understand that, you know, I can have my block chipped off a little and a little if I'm open to what God wants to do in my life. Because a mental block can harbor a lot of ungodly feelings. If you have got a mental block, before you go even to the event, you have a lot of things in your mind, a lot of hindrances. You overthink and you can't see the reward of the evening. You only see the barrier. And then you get anxious because you keep feeling fearful and tense when you only see the barrier. You don't see the reward. You don't see, wow, I'm going to meet, you know, our former Prime Minister, John Howard. No, no, no. It's like, oh, it's John Howard. I don't know what to do, what to say. I don't know what to help. You get all anxious. You cannot focus on the reward. Because you cannot focus on the reward. You only focus on the process. And the process is one of pain and block. You just get anxious the whole time. Today, the good news of God. Today, the person of Christ wants to come and wants to help us go through this difficult time. You see, the king promised those who can win Goliath many things. The king promised that if anyone can win Goliath, he will be given great wealth. He will be given his own daughter in marriage. He will be given exemption of taxes for the whole family. That's pretty good, huh? You get the woman, you get the wealth, you get exemption from taxes. That's pretty good, you know. But no one could see the reward. Because all their mind, they were only focusing on the fear. You see, if you go mountain climbing, and I don't boast that I do a lot of mountain climbing. I only probably climb one mountain. But I did a lot of gym these days with people in Singapore. I've got some girlfriends that we do gym every Tuesday. And when you do mountain climbing or when you do gym, you don't want to focus on the climb of the how steep the mountain is. Or how difficult it's going to be, you know, if after you exercise. You focus on what? You focus on the cooling off. You focus on the good fellowship of the girls or the guys that you are hanging out with. You focus on the healthy body that each time after the gym, you feel good. You focus on the
reward. You don't want to focus on what you don't want. You don't want to focus on the sore feet, on the tired body, on the sweat. You don't want to focus on that, because if you keep focusing on it, you will get it. If you keep focusing on the pain, you get pain. If you keep focusing on the sweat, you get sweat. If you keep focusing on things you don't want, you keep getting things you don't want. I'm blocked with the power of the Lord. I'm blocked so that we are able to focus on what we want more of. David wasn't like the brothers. David went round gathering his focus. David went to the men there and says, "What's happening? What's happening?" He went to other men and says, "What's the reward? What's the reward?" He went around clearing his head. He went around gathering his focus. You see, when you have blocks, don't stonewall. When you have blocks, don't build a wall, because they keep you in. Instead, you need to poke the bear of blocks and ask God to unblock us so that we are able to access what God wants us to have. There are three things we can ask, we can assess, and then we can avail. David asked the people around, what's the reward? What is given to the people who can win the giant? He asked questions. Then he assessed. He cleared his head. He asked. He cleared his head. He assessed. He says, yeah, I think I can do it. A lot of people ask, and then they assess. And then they assess. And then they assess. Then they overthink. Then they overthink. And then they assess again. Then they ask again. Then they assess. And then they assess. And they don't take action. Blocks. Don't. Let all the blocks be taken away. You ask, you assess, you avail. David asked, he cleared his head. Can do. I killed the bear. I killed the lion. I killed the Goliath. Can do. I need a wife. He has a wife to offer. I need some money. He has got some money to offer. Can do. Assess. Can do. And then he availed. He went to the king. He says, I'll do it. So don't over-assess. You think. You feel. You get the confidence. And then you do. You know how this ladies' retreat came about? Frida, I didn't ask you for permission, but I'm sure you are okay with that. Frida came and she asked if something like a woman's retreat is possible in the church. She asked. And then I said, okay, let's talk about it. So I said, let's assess. So we went to Swan Valley, had our nice coffee. We sat down, we assessed. She said, yeah. I think ladies, you know, in the lockdown, we do need this retreat and all that. And I says, what is your faith? What is my faith? We say 10. Okay, we assess. And then we were talking with some other ladies, and some other ladies said, why not? We can do more. I said, okay. I said, would you be willing to be committee members? Yes. 6 women came around and was willing to be committee members. We availed ourselves as committee members. And it grew from a 10-person retreat, and now it's 28 and going. Huh? We still got 4 more beds in the lounge area. If you don't mind sleeping at the lounge area, we've got 4 beds for you. And there will be a pajama party. This bear comes with pajamas. I didn't realize, but it's really quite nice. We've got a pajama party on Thursday, where we're going to get a very special speaker to come and speak to us about her experiences in a very difficult sort of country at that time. So do come. I don't want to spoil the whole story for you, but do come. We've got a pajama night where we wear our pajamas and we share. And we have got supper. So now you must come. Release all the blocks. Frida and myself, we were unblocked in all our inhibitions. And then when the 6 committee members sat down together, we unblocked all our inhibitions, we asked, we assessed, and then we avail ourselves. We need to poke the bear of blocks so that we don't get blocked so much in our lives. Christians are meant to be free because Jesus says, if the Son of Man has set you free, then you are free indeed. If we believe it, we need to live it. Amen. Amen. All right, last bear, last bear. Are you ready for this? Wow, this one is very hard. Oh, God, help me. The last bear is the bear of control. The last bear is the bear of control. There is an elk. It's so cute. Huh? Yeah, I drew it. And a copy. Huh? I copy somebody's art. And David's brother by the name of Eliab, he wants to have control. He's the elder brother, see? And he was the one in the army, you know? David is not enlisted in the army because he's too young. He was in the army. He was the elder brother. And he tried to control David with his anger. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28 says, he burned with anger at David. Do you know angry people are powerful people? And sometimes we give in to a lot of angry people because we think we are not so strong, they are stronger. And so we dare not poke the bear. Don't poke the bear. Keep the bear safe. Huh? Let the bear sleep. Huh? Okay, all right, don't. Huh? Stay there. And then we don't want to have anything to do with them. In the meantime, we get all flustered, you know, with our assignment. Angry people are powerful people. So, church people, Christians, we really need to learn to experience God's power, not by anger, but other sort of power, huh? But people would use anger to show us their power. And that anger came out in Eliab at the battlefield in a questioning style. Okay, you see what he says. 1 Samuel 17, 28, the Eliab, the elder brother, asked David, why have you come down here? Very powerful question, huh? Why are you here? The assumption is this. You shouldn't be here. You're not wanted here. You don't belong here. It is not a statement of acceptance and welcome. It's meant to drive David back out of the field. Powerful. Careful. Huh? People can use this sort of control. And then he asks another question. He says, with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? In other words, Eliab was questioning David's sense of duty and responsibility, saying that David was not doing a good job. He was slacking. Huh? You come here, what happened to your sheep? What if they die? Ah, you see, this kind of very threatening thing. And then Eliab accused David. He says, you know what? I know how conceited you are. I know how wicked your heart is. That's character assassination. Somebody is assassinating your character, saying that you are conceited, you are selfish, and you are wicked. Powerful people. No. Poke the bear. Huh? Poke the bear. Stir it up. Take action. Huh? Don't let anger just rest with you like that. Eliab has control. He says, you came down only to watch the battle. Wow, how does he know? He calls out his motives. You only came here not to bring food from the father, even though that was the real case. You came here to actually watch people fight. It is calling out somebody's motives. Wow. David could easily cave into control. David could have left the field and not risen to the assignment God gave him that day, and then the Bible will have one chapter less in 1 Samuel chapter 17. But David did not cave in to control. He took control of the situation by staying in close touch what God has put into his heart to do. I pray that the voice of God that asks you to do a certain assignment is unshakable and that it is not easily replaced by any powerful people in our lives, but that you will hold close to it. That's why I always encourage people to pray more, to talk more with God, to listen to Him more, so that when He moves and when people move contrary to what God is saying to your heart, you know how to respond right away. Pray more. Listen to God more. Hear His voice more. So that when there is a voice that opposes God's voice in your life, that is preventing you from doing your assignment, you know what to do and you can get on with it. See, David is a shadow of Christ. Because Jesus did not cave in to control. Wow. And when I get this passage that involves Jesus, my heart really leaps, you know. You remember the passage where the mother of Jesus and the brothers of Jesus came to the neighbor's house? Because Jesus was ministering to the people there. And the mother came and the brothers came. And they were all outside. And then the disciple says, look, 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 Jesus, your mom is here. Your brothers are here. And then what did Jesus say? Jesus says, who are my mother? Who are my brothers? Who are my mother? Who is my mother? Who are my brothers, right? And then he then gave a theological truth about biological attachments. He says, anyone who does the will of the Father is my mother and my brothers. You know, every time I read this passage, you know, I scratch my head like, God doesn't seem to be really appreciative. Jesus doesn't seem to be really appreciative. The mother came, right? Then the brothers came, right? And they were waiting for him outside. And then he says, you know, this theological truth about doing the will of God. It's like confusing. Then I read it again when I'm preparing this message. I tell you what, Jesus did not cave into control. Because if you read earlier on in Mark 3:20, which the same context was given, do you know why the mother and the brothers came? The Bible tells us really clearly. Go and read Mark 3. They came because the disciples and Jesus were having so much ministry that the disciples were not eating their food properly. And so the mother and the brothers were so protective of the disciples and Jesus. They came to, the Bible tells us what? To take charge of him. Jesus would have been 30 years old. The brothers and the mother want to come and take charge of him. And they say that he is out of his mind. The brothers and the mom said that Jesus is mad. So they want to come and take charge of him. Imagine if Jesus caved into every control. Imagine if Jesus had to ask permission whether or not to die on the cross. And he's got to cave into control. Today we won't be able to enjoy the redemption work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that was the main reason why he told Peter. Because Peter says, nah, you're not going to die on the cross. No, you are the Son of Man. You come in glory, horse. You know, and we ride into Jerusalem and we conquer Jerusalem. And Jesus said, no, I'm going to die on the cross. And then Peter says, nah, you're not going to do that. Control, like, hey, I say what you do, huh? You do what I say, huh? And what did Jesus say? Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Why would he say Satan to Peter? I mean, he's the disciples, you know. So strong, huh? Control. Control. We got to be really careful of the bear of control. My mentor says this to me. I need to hear God directly. He says, and he says a really insulting word to me. He says, I would be infantile. Imagine someone said that to me. Infantile. He says, I would be infantile if I always have to have someone to direct me, to speak into my life, to make decisions for me. God wants to express himself powerfully through you. And if there are powers that are contending with him, we will not be able to experience a rapid acceleration growth phase simply because we are blocked and we are controlled. If we have relegated God to second in command because we have got so many commanders and so many controllers in our lives, God wants to first of all be the first in command. Because when God is first in command, we'll be full of faith, full of courage, full of hope. Even though assignments that are really tough, we will be enthused with strength. But when people are in command, then we can be pulled all over the place by all kinds of motives, all kinds of biased opinions. For the fear of men, the Bible tells us, is a trap and a snare. We need the forgiveness of God. We need to hear God's voice again. This is pastor's heart for you. God, pastor, using God's word, tell us that we need to hear God's voice again. But you can't hear God's voice if you are hearing your own voice so much. And some of our voices are assumptions. Some of our voices are blocked by bad experiences. Some of our voices are subject to so much control until it doesn't become our voice anymore. We need to hear our own voices again. We need to sing again. We need to get back our voices again, because God wants to put assignments in your lives, and God wants to put assignments for the church that will require a free-spirited Christian to be able to carry out. Poke the bear of assumption, of blocks, of control, so that we have a clear way for God's assignments in our lives and in the life of the church. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. We'll ask the worship team to come back up. Time for reflection. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. This is a really strong message. I took so long to go on my knees to do this message. It's so hard. But I think, you know, in our lives, however long our lives are, there are many things that can come in our way and can prevent us from hearing God, can prevent us from being light-hearted or free-spirited in God, because God wants us to be so full of Him. And we know that, you know, we know it in our knowledge. We know, yeah, if the sun sets you free, then you are free indeed. And you know it. Maybe you've been hearing it so often as well. You know it. But I think it's not about our knowledge anymore. This COVID-19 has really wiped out a lot of assumptions about things, you know. I think it's about really the true experience with God. God wants to put real stuff, you know, stuff that really matter into our hearts to do. And He's looking. The Son of God is looking for men and women that can do assignments in the home, in the office, in your uni, in the community, in the church, that will be able to reflect the love of the Father. But how can we be loving and free-spirited if so many things weigh us down, like so many assumptions, so many blocks, or so many forms of control that it's kind of like make us feel like it's even hard to come out with our own ideas? I think today, God wants to have an encounter with us. And just like David, he says, if the name of God is strong enough, then I would take this giant down. And the name of God is strong today. And I think we need to trust that name of the Lord Jesus Christ much, much, much more. And today, this is a reckoning time. Come before the Lord and say, oh Lord, Lord, You are powerful. I acknowledge You are powerful. And Lord, if there are people or things that are more powerful than You that comes in the way and prevents me from fighting my battles or from completing my assignment, Lord, would You help me? Would You help me? Today, that's Your call. That's Your altar call. Thank You, Jesus.